The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 511. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, people? How's it going?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Richard Bailey Jr.
What's up, everybody?
And Brian Manjoma.
What's up?
All right, guys, you already know, back with another one. No bread action tonight. Feeling under the weather, and Chris will probably join us. I see him in our Google Docs for the questions, so I'm assuming he's going to jump in. Probably Olivia's running around doing little kid stuff. So yeah, but Chris will probably be here. Again, I see him right there. He's chilling. All right, man, let's get into these questions, bruh. Kind of like a smattering of different topics. See what I say? I said Chris will be here any second. He popped up. What's going on, Chris?
Yo, what's up?
Yeah, I saw you in the doc. I'm like, he's going to show up. He'll be here, you know. Good stuff. All right, man, let's get into this first question of the night. Mr. J. Shep. Uh-oh. Okay, typically I don't like hypothetical questions, but this one will be easy to answer, so I'll go for it. I have a hypothetical question because I know how much you guys like hypothetical questions. It's mostly meet us against it. If a company were willing to acquire Xbox from Microsoft right now, you think Microsoft would sell Xbox? Nope. There's the answer.
No.
They're not going to do it. Xbox is still making up some kind of money, you know?
So the thing I can see happening if Xbox is not doing the numbers,
mm-hmm.
I think them just dissolving it and it reabsorbing.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing that would happen in general.
Yeah, I agree.
Even their division is actually called Microsoft Games. It's not Xbox. So they could dissolve the Xbox brand and still have Microsoft Games and still have all of their services and all of that sort of stuff, just rebrand everything.
Yeah, there's nothing to sell off. You know, there's really nothing to sell off. So yeah, that's what would happen. If it got to a point where Xbox wasn't making enough money, they would just fold, like Manny said, get rid of the brand and just fold everything into Microsoft Gaming, end of story. Because there is no like studio to sell, really. I know it's called Xbox Studios, but it's not really a thing, you know?
Yeah, and to be honest, and if it did get sold, it could not be called Xbox.
Yeah.
They could probably sell the studios. They could sell all of their studios internally. Like, they could do stuff like that. But in general, I think the biggest thing would happen is that they wouldn't sell their brand off that.
It wouldn't.
It would just be reabsorbed, and then it would just be called Microsoft Games.
And it's not like Microsoft hasn't canceled things before, you know? So, yes. Yeah, and just reintroduced it or reabsorbed it into the greater company. So, yeah, they went, again, you can't think of Xbox like a traditional gaming developer. It's not that. It's just a little part of Microsoft, you know? And the reason you probably will see Xbox well into the future is because it doesn't really, you know, Microsoft's making so much money off their other things. They could accept that little bit of a loss leader. And I don't even think it's that much of a loss anyway. So, yeah, that's not going to happen. It makes no sense. All right. Next question here, also from Mr. J. Shep. You guys may have already covered this, but in your opinion, will the Switch 2 be innovative in any way, or will it just be an upgrade of graphics from the Switch? Chris, you're a resident Nintendo guy here, so I'll let you start this one off.
Well, and in terms of features, I wouldn't expect too much. I wouldn't expect too much of an upgrade. We got some grain of salt leaks about RAM and all that stuff. But in terms of innovation, I'm not sure what you mean. Like, are they going to provide a great cloud service? I doubt it. right? They don't have that now. They have Nintendo Switch Online. That to me is not a great service at all. I don't think it's worth paying for. I don't think they're going to change it. I think they'll make a second expansion pass and just be like, oh, well, now you can play GameCube games or something. I don't know. But I don't see them doing too much past what they have now, because this system, as they said themselves in the financial report, it's fully backwards compatible, right? It has to support current Switch games, which means to execute those Switch games natively in your board, that means you're using an NVIDIA APU. I mean, it's going to be pretty similar to what you have now, just more powerful. So I think that's all you're going to get. You're just going to get a better Switch.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to rock the boat. Again, I am making a caveat that anything I've said about Nintendo has historically been wrong, so who knows what they'll actually do, but I don't expect them to do anything radically different. They hit a winning formula with the Switch. No reason to change that up. People seem pretty happy with it. And I'm going to just go, Chris, I'm going to go right into the next question because it's all about Switch from General Breaker. Will the Switch 2 be as successful as the original Switch, or has the novelty of a dockable handheld worn off?
Damn, I got this wrong last time. Yeah. I don't even know what to say. Because, I mean, even though the Switch is on a decline, it's still 7 years old.
Yeah.
So it makes sense it's on a decline, right? People want something new. So as long as they can present strong software, and honestly, I think one of the main problems in the last few years, in the last half of the Switch's life, is Nintendo's like release schedule. And I know Rona happened and all that stuff, but they really got to get a handle on a proper cadence for holiday titles, mid-year, whatever you're going to do. Like, you need some kind of a cadence. You can't just explode out of the gate and then have nothing for like months and months. They got to figure that out. I think if they figure that out, then they're in pretty solid territory. And I think they won't make the mistakes of the Wii and the Wii U, no. Right? The Wii U came out, they honed in on that tablet. They're like, look at this amazing tablet. And they confused the hell out of everyone. That was a big mistake, and that wrecked that system because people thought the tablet was the system, right? And that you somehow you could wirelessly connect to the base and whatever, you know, the Wii U itself, and none of that was true. And so people were disappointed. It had complete brand confusion all over the place. They must have learned from that. They're not going to do that again. So whatever this is, there won't be no brand confusion. I think how you avoid that is just this is just the successor. This is just the Switch Next or the Switch 2 or Switch Pro, whatever they call it. And that's it. It's just a better Switch. And that's the safest route to go. And if they're anything, Nintendo is predictable as they play things safe, right? They don't rock the boat. They don't change things up. They're not going to go do something crazy. So I think that's the route they'll take. It's success. I'm not even going to venture, I guess. I don't know if it's as successful, if it explode out of the gate, but it'll probably do well.
Yeah, it'll do well. They don't want to rock the boat that's floating on the blue ocean, you know? Yeah, what's up, Carlos?
I had a discussion with someone in the Discord a couple of days ago. You know how it goes. About the price of the Switch successor. They're talking about a $300 to $400 price point. Yeah. And to me, and this could just be me, I'm like, there's no way in fucking hell that's ever gonna happen. $300-$400.
You think it'll be more?
Yeah.
For Nintendo?
Yeah.
All right, I gotta hear this.
$500.
Yeah.
I mean, it's we live in a new era. This is you know, we got a $700 console. That's barely even an upgrade to whatever the hell we got. We're getting to that point where, you know. You know, you can only sell $200 to $300 or $400 consoles now. Like, they have to be the only. And I said this in the chat. The only way this console, the Switch 2, is a $400 console is the Wii scenario. And what I mean by Wii scenario is where they just relocated parts from the GameCube and put it all into the Wii and called it a new console. That's the only way I could ever see that happening. If it has anything, quote unquote, innovative of any sense in this new Switch console, it has to be more than $400.
Now, here's my question to you, and I was already thinking about this because it's a perfect kind of segue here to the question I wanted to ask, but I'm going to ask two of them. You know, will, let's just be honest, the Nintendo Switch is mainly for children, right? Will I think parents are already going to have a hard enough time going, why should I get you the Switch 2 when your Switch is perfectly fine? The same thing we heard with the Nintendo and Super Nintendo. So is that going to make it worse if it's $500? Like, you admit that it's going to be already a hard sell for parents to begin with, right?
Yeah, but I still feel like, well, number one, Nintendo does believe in generations, unlike all the other motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Number two, they're still going to keep selling Switches. So if there's any folks that are, you know, like, oh, well, I can't pay $500 for this little Timmy.
You were here last week. Remember what we said about what Nintendo historically does when a new system comes out? The last one? I know with the Nintendo, they kept that around for a while, but look what happened with the Wii U and the Wii. Those were cut off buried. Within a year, yeah. Buried within a year. I don't think the Switch is going to be around that long, man.
I mean, but within a year is enough. Within a year is enough. And we also, that's a console's perspective. I mean, from the handheld perspective, the DS kept selling. The 3DS and the 2DS were selling simultaneously.
Yeah, like, remember, Nintendo is calling has always called the Switch a console, you know?
So the thing about it is that, remember, when they did do the DS update, they did sort of retire the previous one. In fact, they even put a hard lock on
it. And like, that's why it was also backwards compatible, too. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't play these new games on the old Switch, but you can play old games on the new Switch.
Yeah.
Oh, so, no, I agree. Old
DS. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. This is not, if when the new Switch comes out, it's not going to be backwards or forwards compatible.
Yeah, no way.
You're not going to be able to play Switch 2 games on the Switch 1. Like that, I agree. That's a Nintendo thing that always stays pretty consistent for the most part. Unless
The only point I'll disagree with Carlos in. I agree with everything you said, but you said Nintendo believes in generations. Remember, the Switch is still in the 8th generation. The Switch is the mulligan of the Wii U, and it's considered 8th generation, even though it shouldn't be. It should really be a 9th gen system. So they don't believe in generations. Like, you don't get a do-over when you screw up a...
Remember when they tried to pull that shit? Yeah. You know?
Yeah. It's still officially, if you go look at console generations, it's still listed. Both the Wii U and the Switch are listed as 8th generation. And then PS5 and
both Series of them. X.
Both of them right there, yeah.
Yeah, although I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole because I've discussed this on Throwdown many times.
Yeah,
sure. I still maintain that... No, I'm saying what I'm about to say now, I'm not going to go down further. I still maintain the Switch that is a 7th gen console, but we're not going to get into that. Carlos, I think it's $400 tops. They got to sell this to children, to families. $500 is too much, you know?
They could do that mistake. I would agree with Carlos because they have historical precedence for doing that. They released the 3DS, I think it was like $250 when it launched. And way over, it was like $80, $90 more than the DS, the last DS system. I was like, that was way too much for another handheld that was still called DS. Yeah. They just had 3D as a feature, and you're going to charge that much more. They had to lower that price. Like, they completely stifled their sales. So, Carlos could be right, and they launched at that, but they're going to pay a stiff penalty because they're basically the budget system now. If they think they can get approach... The PS5 Pro prices? They think they're going to charge like even $600? People will be like, yeah, I'll wait.
Yeah, $500 is too much for a family console, you know?
Well, at least we can agree it's not going to be $300 like it was previously.
No, it's going to be expensive. It's going to be more expensive for sure. We'll see who's right. Again, every time I made a prediction about Nintendo, I've been fucking wrong. So who knows? All right, next question here also from General Breaker. Rich, this one's a little bit more for you, man. Are any of you playing Dragon Quest III Remake?
Yes. I actually have been playing this game for quite some time. I'm actually playing it right now as we are recording this show. I wasn't sure if there's anything specific that he wanted to know about the game. What I will say is, so far, I'm enjoying the game. This game definitely requires patience and learning how to really have a good strategy going into these fights, because that was the first thing that I really got into. You know, when you get into the actual tactics and strategy, unlike some of the other RPGs I've been playing so far this year, this one, yeah, it's a lot. You need to have a little bit of luck. You got to also know what is the best attacks to use against the different various types of creatures. And again, you have an option where you can basically be the one to command every single move that your team does, or you can just have, there's an option where you can choose wisely attack, where pretty much every single person can auto attack and they will heal on their own. But I have noticed that as you get deeper into the game, you definitely need to be the one to orchestrate these attacks. You should not use that wise attack because you will get absolutely demolished. Obviously, you got to make sure you have you know the right amount of armor. You got to have the right amount of powers if certain people on your team have powers, abilities. So it is a little challenging to get used to, but it is a lot of fun when you finally beat a boss, because I did beat one of the bosses here a little while ago. That was a satisfying feeling because it took a while to do that because I had to keep leveling up my characters. And while you can avoid some fights by fleeing, you do not gain experience points when you do that. You know, when you flee, you might get away, but then there is this where you get into a battle and you try to flee, and the enemy says, "Oh, hold on, where do you think you're going?" They will still attack you. So, but it's a lot of fun so far, I have to say. Just requires, you know, you got to spend enough time learning how to do certain stuff, just like in any game. And once you get that down, then you'll be in a much better shape.
That's awesome. Is anybody here planning to get this game? That was the other part of the question.
It depends on an answer Richard Bailey Jr. can only answer.
Uh-oh.
Should I buy this game?
Well, my answer directly to you, Carlos, and I'm going to give you a personalized answer. Absolutely not. Uh-oh. Because you are still, good sir, you still need to play, Metaphor. And I need to play that also, because that is a game that is going to be in a lot of conversations. So I definitely got to play that too.
The second question I have, Mr.
Yes, sir.
Is Dragon Quest 3 verified?
That is a great question. I'm actually not sure about that. Because, I mean, right now I'm playing on PS5. It might be Steam verified. I do need to double check that, though.
That, I mean, Carlo, that could be your way in.
Let me see. I could check.
Since we're selling folks on games.
Are we?
It is verified.
Uh-oh.
It is verified. There you go.
I think you need to take that somewhere.
Adam just sneezed somewhere.
Yeah.
So oh,
this is verified.
So here's what I would say.
Yeah. Every time a game is a verified, Adam gets.
Yes. Yeah. What's up, Rich?
So here's what I would say. You know, we know that Black Friday is coming up here next week. Not this week. The week after next. You also have the holidays. There will be a lot of sales. I'm pretty sure this game will be on sale by the end of the year. It's already, I think it's about $60 right now. So it's not your usual $70 game. They have obviously a digital deluxe edition. I think that's a little bit more. But I would say, yeah, you can definitely get it cheaper. But if you already have a lot of other games you need to get through, like our boy Carlos here, you need to play those games, especially Metaphor, right? Because I hear everybody talking about that game. I feel a little embarrassed that I still haven't had a chance to play it, and I've had the game since it has come out. So, you definitely need to check it out. But this game is pretty good. I just don't know if it's something you need to rush out and buy immediately, because I'm pretty sure it's going to be on sale at some point.
Yeah, Rich, don't feel bad about Metaphor, because I've also had it for a while, and I still haven't played it, so don't feel bad. I feel equally as embarrassed. But listen, like I said, man, I'm on my fighting game kick right now, and I'll tell you more about it near the end of the show. You're getting them platinum, son, you know? But I do want to at least play some of it to see if it's worthy of Game of the Year. A lot of people are saying it's by fucking the same people from Persona. It probably is Game of the Year, you know? But I, you know, again, I'm on my kick right now, bro. You know? All right, man. Good stuff. Oh, but anybody else interested in it? Oh, yeah, I should answer. Dragon Quest III, you know, we'll see. Like Rich said, maybe a sale. I want to play not the original, but I want to play the Super Nintendo remake first, before I play this one. You guys probably go, what the fuck are you talking about, Tony? They actually remade the game for Super Nintendo. It was a Japanese-only release, but obviously through emulation, you could have your, you know, English subtitles. That's actually how I played the original. I played the original Dragon Quest, like, via emulation. I played the NES version, and Dragon Warrior, I should say, and then Dragon Quest SNES remake on through emulation. So I'm going to play 2 and then 3, and then maybe I'll play this one. We'll see. Although I will say the graphics do look nice. They have that Octopath Traveler type of deal going on, which is pretty cool. But I want to play the original Dragon Quest 3 because that's heralded as one of the greatest RPGs of all time, you know, which makes sense why they remade that, you know, with the newer graphics and stuff. Yeah, but we'll see.
Man, that game's Geraldo Rivera.
You know? All right, man. Let's get going to the next question. Did he find the grave, Carlos? Jimmy Hoffa. Yeah, he's still Jimmy Hoffa, right? Oh, man. All right. Another one from Toon Medic, our boy Michael Santiago. Kind of related to the last one. If you had one game that could get the 2D HD remake treatment, what would it be? I don't know.
What about a Sonic collection?
With a 2D HD kind of deal?
Yeah, like Sonic Mania, but the actual games.
Yeah, but Sonic Mania wasn't really like 3D. You know what I mean?
Oh, I thought they said 2D. I thought they said 2D.
No, because remember, the whole deal with this game is it's like 2D, 3D. So correct me if I'm wrong. You know what I'm saying? It's like Yeah. What games do you want to be remade into Octopath art style?
Oh, okay, gotcha. Because I was about to push up my glasses and say, actually, Sonic, they actually has 2D and 3D levels.
Yeah, that is true. It does, but yeah, it's like in the style of Octopath.
Okay.
J-Shep says Xenogears. There you go. That's a good one. Now I'm trying. Here's where I'm kind of stumbling. I'm trying to think of a genre outside of RPGs that could benefit from this. I'm having a little bit of a hard time. So maybe it's only good for maybe a beat-em-up might work.
You can
a shooting game, like, Contra could work. Yeah.
Yeah, you can, like, in other words, you can essentially build like a depth of field work, because that's what those games are doing. They're essentially taking a 2D sprite, you know, flat 2D sprite, and then putting it into an isometric 3D environment.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you walk past things, you see things in the foreground and stuff like that. So I think you can do that with quite a bit of other things. But I think, like, at the same time,
I have my answer, by the way, but keep going.
When it comes to those some of those other types of games, I feel like they don't benefit from it as much.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? Like, they're still sort of keeping the, you know, for those other games, they're sort of keeping that old aesthetic, like, you know, like what they did with 3D Dot Hero, Game Heroes, where it's like, it's still sort of like lower resolution, sort of like simple sprite graphic.
Yeah. My answer is, I don't want any games in that. Don't get me wrong. I really like that art style, that Octopath, but even you, again, one of the reasons I was hesitant, I was like, I'd rather play the original instead of this, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'd rather play with the original graphics. So I don't want that necessarily. I would prefer to have the original just available on my modern console. You know what I'm saying? Because generally, I don't like it too much when they muck around with original graphics. I'll tell you a quick little story related to what I was talking about with fighting games. I was watching a Tekken retrospective, and it bothered the fuck out of me that the guy was using an emulator that cleans up Tekken 1, 2, 3, and, you know, and 4. Like, what the fuck? I want to see the original crunchy graphics, you know? So I'm kind of a purist in that sense, you know? So I don't want that. And it's also why, don't get me wrong, this Dragon Quest game looks nice, but I'm like, I'd rather play the emulated version of the game instead. I want it to look the way it's supposed to, you know? So that's my, I know that's, you know, maybe a grumpy answer, but that's my answer. No, I'd rather have the original. Like, preserve the way it used to look, you know, as much as possible. Or, you know, I know the 16-bit remaster didn't preserve the original either, but it's still of that time, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing, because I feel like that Octopath Traveler, which is a stylistic choice,
yeah,
has sort of made a lazy sort of remake out of these other games.
Yeah, I agree.
Where it's like, okay, now we don't really need to redo any spite work. We just need to just redo the environments and some of the other things to try to give it a different type of polish. I don't know. I like it for Octopath, because I feel like they're specifically going for something like that. But now that everybody's like, hey, look, we don't need to do all this work and redo all this additional shit, you know.
I'd rather have games in that style, not the old ones. You know what I mean?
We have Soikuden, which is also, you know, which is a really great RPG you guys should play. That's getting one of those sorts of, like, you know, those that same type of style of remaster, which I feel like I wish they could have gone a different route. Maybe even just developing a game like that would probably cost more money than they were willing to spend.
Yeah. All right. What about the rest of you guys? Do you want any games redone in that style?
I wouldn't mind it's not that I would look forward to it, but, you know, just thinking about something like maybe like one of those 2D shooters, like Contra. Someone mentioned Mega Man in the chat. Like, I feel like those would lend itself pretty decently to that type of game. So, you know, also RPGs as well. You know, the Final Fantasies, you know, Dragon Quest as well. So, you know, but those are sort of like the easy answers. So yeah, I would go for those 2D shooters from the 16-bit era.
Ooh, that's cool.
The top ones, yeah, I think those might.
Yeah, J-Shep says FF6 would be amazing in that style. Again, I kind of prefer it the way it used to look, you know.
Well, how about old Phantasy Star? You could remake Phantasy Star 1 and 2 in that style.
Yeah, those. But I would prefer a different kind of remake for those. I would try to make them.
Oh, like Skies of Arcadia, like type of thing.
No,
like
not make
them,
no,
beef I, them up that like that.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I would still keep them 2D, but I wouldn't do that HD stuff, if you know what I mean. I'm kind of a purist when it comes to this shit, so I will admit that.
I would almost want to see them essentially take that, you know, remake the game, but actually do a full on. Like higher resolution, higher resolution sprites.
That's what I want. Yeah, that's what I will want. Like higher resolution of that. You know, that make it. If it's like a, I know Phantasy Star. You know, the second one was a 16-bit game. But if you can make it look like a really, 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 really good 16-bit game, and the first one especially, that one needs some work because it's kind of rough looking. You know, I wouldn't mind that, but not the 2D HD style. You know.
No.
I think, Manny, I'm kind of already getting sick of that, even though it's just like a year or two old. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I mean, you've already have two games that are already have multiple games that have tried to do that.
Yeah.
That are already doing that. I think we had a Secret of Mana game that did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I think I'm getting sick of it, to be honest.
We had the Octopath game do it. We had, now we have, yeah, again, we have Soikiden, and then now we have Dragon Quest.
Yeah. All right, anybody else?
Lance for Rich. He wants one remake of Concord.
I don't know about that, Rich, hey, man. That sounds suspect.
No, no.
Everybody's gonna get their Concord fixed when that Amazon series comes out. Don't seem like they've canceled the Concord episode that's in there. So,
oh,
yeah, I heard that as well. I know Carlos is very excited.
Oh yeah, you guys are. I heard that you guys are the Coalition actually going to do a whole podcast series based on that show. So that'll
be very called "I Am Concord."
I'm Concord.
We are Concord.
I have no idea. I have no idea about that. I know if there is the podcast, there is nothing to say about Concord. So that will be one episode omitted from whatever discussion we do have.
I think if you do a podcast, it'll be in the style of the good and bad in the buggy. You know, you guys will just roast it.
There you go. Yep.
I mean, I did one thing about that show. I think we should at least watch it and talk a little. It's game related.
Oh yeah,
it's got a Mega Man part. It's got a PlayStation. It's got, you know, a Cyberpunk part.
Wait, you want us to watch the Concord show?
No, it's not a Concord show. It's just an episode.
Okay, what's the main show?
So
that's the Amazon show.
It's called something like Video Game Worlds.
Okay,
it was announced on the Game Awards by the guy who directed Deadpool. Well, he owns a company. He owns a company that essentially does all the cinematics for video games. So now he's like, he did this one show called Love, Death and Robots, which had a bunch of shorts that were, you know, independent shorts by a bunch of people. Now he took that into video games. So now he's doing adaptations of Mega Man and, you know, PlayStation stuff and a bunch of other different properties.
What do you mean by adaptations?
Just like miniature episodes of based on a specific story. So like there's a Mega Man story. There's a Warhammer. There's a bunch of them. You get to see a bunch of little previews of it in one of those things.
All right.
One of them just so happens to be a Concord episode.
Interesting. Yeah.
So
again, shows you how much I know about television. I didn't know this was a thing.
It probably went through one ear and out the other during the Game Awards or Summer Games Fest. Whenever it was announced, he showed up on the thing. Here's the thing. That guy, he directed the first Sonic. People like that. He did Deadpool. He directed additional Deadpool. And people really like Love, Death, and Robots. So I give it a chance because in general, the team seems to put out pretty decent stuff.
Yeah.
So
you watched it already or is it out?
Love, Death, and just based
on... No. The show you're talking about.
Hasn't come out yet. It's coming soon. Like maybe December. When is it coming? I don't remember.
Yeah, it's right around the time the Game Awards comes out. I think it's that same week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, they're probably just going to dump them all onto Amazon. We'll see. What they got.
Cool. All right, man. Moving on here. Ace Ali, I volunteered you for to pick up some of Jay Shep's questions. I don't think he'll mind. He's always volunteering. So thank you for that, even though I volunteered you. What new live service games will survive? By the way, Jay Shep, and I'm glad you're here because I'm kind of confused by this question. So please correct me on it. What new live service games will survive, if any, between now and when GTA 6 releases and after GTA 6 releases? So I'm guessing, there's a bunch of live service games that are out now. Which one of them are going to survive until GTA comes out? Then which ones may die or survive after GTA 6? I think that's the question. I'm not sure. So he'll have to tell me. But while we're waiting for an answer, what are the major live service games right now? Fortnite, right? Are people still playing fucking Apex Legends? I guess they are.
I think their people are still playing Apex.
Yeah.
It's amazing how that game has sort of been holding on. People are still playing PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. People are still playing Overwatch.
Here's the question. Thank you for clarifying because I was confused. Mm-hmm. Which live service games that drop between now and GTA 6 will survive after GTA 6? Okay, I don't know. I don't know which ones are upcoming. If you couldn't tell, I don't really pay attention to live service games. It's a great question though. Go ahead.
Does Warzone count as a live service game? Because people are still playing.
Yeah, Warzone counts. How League of Legends is still being played. That's a live service game.
Jay Shep, does it have to be a new live service game that comes out now, between now and GTA 6? Is that the prerequisite? Two from Sony?
That's how I understood the question. It's like, what live service game that's going to come out from now to GTA 6?
Yeah, it has to be new, he says. Here's the thing. Oh, go ahead, Rich. Go ahead.
Let me answer a part of that question and say, well, one game that will flop is Fair Games.
So, Fair, yes, yeah, game flop over. Games, you know.
Flop games.
That's already a given.
I mean,
by the way, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're at the point, like, when that flops, are we going to find out that it had an even more insane budget than Concord? It's like, this game's been developed for 12 years with a $1.2 billion budget. Like, wait, what the
shit? You know, $500 million. I always spit up my drink when you ask that. I like this comment from Echo Crimson. Anime waifu gotchas are like cockroaches. They can survive everything.
So, yeah, you mean so Zenless, true. Like Zenless, so true. Like, yeah, right now, like Zenless Zone Saga is doing very well. They're pretty tight on that one.
Yeah.
And then the other one, Genshin Impact.
Zenless Zone Zero, Game of the Year. We'll see.
A very nice looking game.
Yeah, no, all those games are. They are very nice looking, but, you know, it's a gacha game, you know? So yeah, I don't know. You know, again, I don't really keep up with these type of games because I find most of them not appealing. I'm trying to be diplomatic here.
Brian, what do you say?
Yeah, Brian, what do you say, man?
Well, what is coming out? So that's kind of the main thing.
I don't know.
But I think that most of them will not last that long, as we're seeing that most live service games these days, they don't really have many legs.
And that's what I wanted to say, Brian. I don't think, even if GTA 6 didn't come out, a lot of these games wouldn't survive anyway, you know? So yeah,
I think the only ones that would stand a chance are games that look like Genshin Impact, purely just because of the Genshin Impact factor of it all. Again, the staples that exist now, chances are they'll stay. So again, your Overwatches and whatnot. I think the only one you can kind of count is Monster Hunter Wilds.
Yeah,
it's I don't know if that it's two different counts.
Yeah, I don't. It's two different audiences. That's the other thing I wanted to say, Brian. I think a lot. You know, I don't think GTA 6 dropping is automatically going to kill live service games because it's different audiences. The gacha people ain't playing no fucking GTA 6. They don't care. You know, vice versa. They don't care about those gacha games. Just like, even though I will be playing both Monster Hunter and GTA 6, I'm still gonna, if I have to make a choice, I'm playing that motherfucking Monster Hunter, you know? So I don't think it's gonna be a problem. It's the audiences are too different, you know? What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, the audiences are different, but I think that's probably the only chance that we have, is games are just different enough and have a good following to have a chance. And I think anything that's new or anything that's a hero shooter or anything that's really out there possibly may not. I have seen that these extraction shooters are becoming like the new thing.
Yeah.
But even then, there's mainly just Escape from Tarkov. That's the one that everyone talks about. So it may just be a case of, unless we get a game that does like a Fortnite on Escape on Tarkov, I don't think anything will last.
Yeah. But again, I think the audiences are too different with some of these games. You know, I don't think people are going to go, man, I was going to play Monster Hunter, but here's GTA 6. And it's not going to happen. You know, but obviously GTA 6 will have the biggest audience out of all of them, just because, like, GTA and Call of Duty are the ultimate normie games. You know, like, they just suck up all the normie crowd. So that's going to be a huge hit. But it's not going to really destroy anything, unless there's another GTA 6 like game, which there isn't, you know, because Saints Row isn't around anymore, is it? They killed that, you know. All right, so yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting. Another one, Ace Ali sponsored question from Jay Shep. What are the panel's thoughts on the Game Awards' rule changes? This one is very interesting. If you guys saw, they are now allowing expansions to be qualified for Game of the Year or any nominations across all fields. I'm like, okay, I guess they're just giving it to Elden Ring this fucking year, you know? That's it. Elden Ring's just won the show, you know?
Yeah. We talked about this, and I remember Carlos mentioned it, and now Carlos, I agree with you. Now the rules have changed. Shadow of the Earth Tree, Game of the Year.
Yeah, Game of the Year. Yeah, you guys changed the rules, so I'm just going along with the rules, you know? Right, Carlos? That's how it is.
Yo, man, I manifested this shit months ago.
Yeah, you did.
Where's your Miss Cleo?
Now, that wasn't Miss Cleo. This was Miss Conjurer, you know? Like, you made this shit happen. You willed it into existence, you know? Like,
it needed to be done, man.
Yeah. Even though I still maintain expansions should have their own category. If this is the rule now, okay, we're going with it. Shadow of the Erdtree, baby. Because that's still the best game I played all year. Even better than real games, bruh. You know, it's real. So, yeah, Kishak doesn't like that ruling. I can understand
There's a couple of reasons why this is going on.
Barry Burton goes that they added best Kojima game category.
So Kojima will win the Kojima category every year.
Every year. There you go. Category. Yeah. What's up, Carlos? What were you saying? Well,
there's a couple of reasons why this is happening. The least important reason is because
there's no it's games.
The best game. Yeah, that's number two. The number two reason is because there's really no games, and the way to sell the show is to have heavy hitters, especially in the biggest category. And if your heaviest hitter on that category is what, Final Fantasy VII, maybe?
Yeah.
So it's like it's not a good look on the show if you lead up with Final Fantasy VII, Astro Bot, and Metaphor. Like it's not a good look. It doesn't sell the show. Yeah. No one's gonna care. And number one, obviously, he knows what's gonna win. And who's someone that's given him excuses in the past? It's From Software.
Yeah.
So, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, there you go.
It's gonna be interesting. Another quick question from Jay Shep, he just threw us in now. What do we think about Jeff Keighley trying to trademark the Game Awards? Sure. Okay, I don't have a problem with it. You know,
I think it's like, shouldn't he have done that like years ago? Like,
yeah, I would think he would have done that right away.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, why didn't you trademark that like fucking as soon as you started making that show, dumbass?
Yeah, that's
No,
I'm kind of shocked.
That's the first thing you do as soon as you create something. You make sure nobody can fucking stomp on your and take that shit underneath them. That means that any motherfucker could have went out there and said, "Hey, we are the Game Awards."
Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
He should also trademark TGS or what is it? You know, what was it?
TGA, yeah.
He should also trademark that while he's at it, because come on, man, seriously.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have any issues with it. I don't know if there's been a backlash online. I don't know, because the first thing that came to mind is remember when those YouTubers are trying to trademark reactions.
Oh yeah,
I
vaguely remember that.
Or reacts or reaction. Like,
the word they were trying to trademark that shit.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
they were trying to do that. I feel like,
and they were trying to license other people through them would have to pay them to do reaction videos.
Do reaction videos.
That's like when fucking Gene Simmons, of course Gene Simmons, tried to copyright OJ. Like really, dude? it's OJ. It belongs to me. Hey, you can vote.
Marv Albert at some point had I forgot, it was like some abbreviation associated with the Bulls.
I thought he tried to trademark yes.
Yes. You know who did get a copyright though? Let's Get Ready to Rumble.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Michael, yes. What's his name?
Michael Butler. Yeah. Owns that.
Yeah. Good for him. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I think maybe Marv Albert, he would have trademarked Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan. Oh, man, that's fun. All right, man. Go ahead.
The whole thing is just dumb on his part, honestly. And it seems like he's doing it simply because he can see that things are getting really big for the Game Awards. Even if you look at the viewership of the last however many shows, it's always been an increase off the previous ones. So I think he's realized that, yeah, this is actually getting a lot bigger than what he thought it would be. So let's just try and get as much trademarks on there so that no one else can do it, just in case they do. And it's probably going to screw over a bunch of other small companies that also have something similar. So they'll certainly need to have their own special...
Ooh, that's a good point.
Addendum on it. So, for example, the Throwdown Game Awards or something.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, we might not be able to.
We have to call it the gaming awards. You know?
Exactly.
Or the there is the New York Game Awards.
Yeah, that one's fine. That one's specifically the New York Video Game Critics Circle Awards, you know?
Yeah, okay.
So that one's fine.
So they have a same
award. So yes, we will now be calling, even though we don't have our award show, we'll now be calling it the Throwdown Video Gaming Awards. You know? Leave us alone. Special. Yeah, it's special, yeah. You see, theirs goes din 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 din. Ours goes din 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 din. It's not the same.
It's different.
And the whole DLC thing, it's, again, as you guys said, it is obvious. Anytime that they change the rules or they add a category out of the blue, it's obvious that it's self-serving. Like last year, they had the Best Video Game Adaptation Award. And it's like, oh, I wonder what video game adaptation came out that year. Big surprise. And which one won? Big surprise. So yeah, it's just adding more fuel to the fire, proving that game awards are just phony as all hell.
Oh yeah.
But at the same time, it's great for us because we get to mock them.
Yes.
So thank you, Jeff.
Yep. That, and you know that's going to be one of our last shows of the year when we roast the fuck out of that show, you know?
Throwdown Roast the Game Awards. We can't say that, right?
Oh, is he going to allow people to live stream reactions or do you have to pay him now because you can't use the term? It's not solidified, but would that happen, you know? We'll see. All right. Moving on. Kishak, who's joining us as well. This one's a bit of a long question. Here's a thought experiment. What if PlayStation, during the PS4 era, had doubled down on exclusivity like Nintendo, refusing to embrace a multi-platform strategy? Would they be better off today or worse? Imagine a PlayStation that kept its entire library locked to its consoles, no PC ports, no cross-platform releases. Would this approach have led to more consoles sold, higher revenues, and stronger player engagement? Or would it have held them back in today's more connected multi-platform gaming world? What do you think? It's a long question.
I don't decide to meet that.
I don't think so either. Like, are they really getting that much of a big bump? And we could probably verify this too. How much of a big bump are they getting from their games on PC, for example? You know? Like, I'm assuming that's better than nothing, right? But, yeah, it's a good question. But I think largely most PlayStation people play games on PlayStation because they have nowhere else to go. It's not like Xbox, you know? PlayStation doesn't believe in play anywhere, you know, for the most part. Yeah, you can get the games on PC, but that's about it. So I don't really think if they just kept this shit locked to PlayStation, I don't really think it would have done anything different in the end.
No, I don't think it would have really affected anything. I think the PC versions, when they do come out, are a nice, you know, shot in the arm to make additional money off of something that has already run its course. And I think that seems to be working for them.
Yeah.
But if they didn't have it, I don't think it would have been that much of a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost just like, you know, I don't know how much it is to put something on the Steam store or any of that, the other stores like that. But I definitely think it's good for they see that as like, okay, that's a DLC we didn't need to develop. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What do the rest of you guys think? Are we wrong?
Well, I feel like I agree with you guys. The course was always going to be the same, regardless of what they would have done. I felt like none of it really moves the needle, especially coming off the PS4 days and up to today. I mean, what's really moving the needle for PlayStation? I mean, the things that kind of would, I mean, were kind of exclusive anyways. So, you know, they're just timed exclusive. So they're not really like fully like in this multi-platform, world as a lot of other games are now. So no, I don't think anything changes.
Yeah, I don't think anything would have changed. Some of the guys in the chat disagree with us though.
Uh-oh.
Reggie says they would be worse off. And Echo Crimson says Sony would have shot themselves in the foot. If you guys could expand on that, I'd like to hear it because
if they go multiplat, right?
Yeah. Like, no, just saying if they didn't go multiplat like they have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think if those PC ports didn't exist, I don't think it would have negatively affected them.
No, I don't think so.
Well, here's the thing. It would negatively affect them seeing how much money they've made off of them today. But if they didn't have that hindsight, they wouldn't have known better, and they wouldn't have been struggling per se. So it's a weird kind of way to answer it. But you know, they would have known better if they didn't go multiplat. They just, you know, they wouldn't have been dying of like for sales or anything. But now since they went multiplat, they know, oh shit, you know, her God of War sold 500k copies on Steam. I'm just guessing. But I'm pretty sure they sold around that or more. It's like, man, we've made millions of dollars just of porting this off of PC, and it cost us like $2.
Yeah, no, but the question was, again, you know, it is hypothetical. It's like, what if they had never done that? You know, they'd be down a couple of million dollars, but nothing detrimental. You know.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's an interesting question because at first I was thinking the same thing as Tony, where I was like, I don't think it will change too much, but then I remembered that Helldivers 2 came out, and that was extremely big on Steam. So potentially, if that was the case, then Helldivers 2 wouldn't be as successful, and they would be at a point where they'd have zero live service games that have been a success. So compared to now, where they have one, so... You could argue whether or not that would change things, but
I think with that game, that's obviously an exception. It was a huge hit. Although, how is it doing now? Because after all those controversies, are people still playing this game? You know, because that was Sony shooting themselves in the foot. You know, forcing people to use the fucking PSN IDs. That was bad. Mom. Yeah.
Here's the thing. They. I agree with Brian's point. Helldivers 2. Wouldn't have been the success even if the numbers are down, it still I think categorically is a success. But on the flip side, they probably wouldn't have invested that much on Concord, knowing that they weren't going to have a PC market to put the game in. And you know,
that's a good.
My best guess is they wouldn't have even worked on or invested that much in that game, knowing that it was just going to be a PlayStation game.
Yeah. Maybe it would have done better, you know. Maybe Sony would have done better because they wouldn't have invested in Concord, you know.
So the next Sony live service game is gonna dictate everything.
Yeah,
if
right.
It's successful.
Was Concord? It was also Concord or simultaneous PC release? It wasn't.
Yes,
right?
It was.
Yeah, it was.
No,
yes,
it was. Was.
Sorry. Yep. Yep. So, yeah, and double, yeah, that didn't whammy. That didn't really help, did it?
It didn't even help either.
Nope.
But I think in the case for Helldivers, I definitely, you know, I think that it did, the PC numbers did definitely help that one. I don't know how well it's doing on PlayStation itself.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know if it's equivalent, but I definitely think that was a game that I think it was in a weird sort of way. It was more of a PC game than it was a console game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
Go ahead, Brent. Okay. Looking at numbers, it has a peak 24-hour of 40,000, and right now it's 27,500 players.
I mean, so it's correct me if I'm wrong, but that seems pretty respectable.
Well, considering that the other Dragon game that we don't talk about has pretty much the same stats.
Really? I'm surprised by that.
Well, slightly lower player count of only 23,000 compared to Helldivers 27,000.
Yeah. It's interesting. I thought nobody was playing that Dragon Age shit. I was wrong. All right. Concord needs nomination for Game Awards quickest game taken off market. You know?
Well, it should be. It should be.
That is a world record.
That is a world record.
I don't know. It's actually beaten by that one game that was removed in 3 days.
That's right.
The one that we never remember
the name
of.
The Amazon game, right?
No. There was one that came out in December. That one with the zombies. Is it the day after tomorrow or something?
I know
the one that had Last of Us font.
Yeah, we made fun of it. Yeah. Yeah. 3 days. So yeah, that beat it, you know. Although we'd argue Concord was a bigger failure because it cost like $400 million or whatever, you know.
Well, we're Jeff is going to start a new category. I mean, he's changing the rules every day. He's going to start a new category. Best non-going game.
Best non-going game. There you go. Oh, man.
But yet, it's still best sports and racing title.
Yes. Some bullshit. All right, moving on. Asir in the Air Force is also joining us in the chat tonight. First question. Oh, a little bit of a segue because we're talking about PC ports. What do you guys make of reports that Final Fantasy 16 on PC only sold 289,000 copies since release? I can't say I'm surprised. Here's the thing. I don't think the problem is that, like, that PC players... I don't think the problem is that the game is old. I think the problem is because the game was just not well received to begin with. And I'm saying this as a person, that was one of my games of the year. If it wasn't my game, I don't remember what the fuck it was last year. But that game was fantastic. But it underperformed even by Square Enix standards, you know? So I'm not surprised it's not doing well on PC because it wasn't well received on consoles already, on PlayStation, you know? It's a damn shame. Is fantastic fantasy game, but you know it is what it is. But I don't think it's a matter of like, oh, the game's old. Like that hasn't stopped other ports from PC that to do very, very well. You know, it's just this one in particular, not so much. You know,
not so much.
So I'm not surprised by that. Another one from Mr. Air Force. A little bit of a hypothetical. You guys hit us with these hypotheticals tonight. Which game will come out first? Blade or 1943 Rise of Hydra?
I honestly don't know.
That's a good one. Well, you know what? The 1943 Hydra game is actually a lot from Blade. Only just has a trailer. They seem to have a little bit of gameplay and thing.
Yeah, what's up, Rich?
That's correct. I also was going to say the Hydra game will come out sooner than Blade. The real question they meant to ask is, when is Blade coming to PS5 Pro? I mean... So I don't know why that question wasn't asked, because we all know that's the question that was intended to be asked.
That's a good question. My answer is the Wonder Woman game.
Dad, the Wonder Woman game that's going to come out first?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Because where the hell is that?
Yeah, where's that?
It was announced, and then suddenly it like died like the Suicide Squad. So where is it?
The Blade movie may come out first before the game.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, man. Indiana Jones will look even better on PS5 Pro. That's funny. All right.
None of us will know we're not buying it.
Yeah, well, excuse me? Oh, man. And I'm glad you said that, Chris, because I'm also not interested in playing either of these games. So that's why I don't care. I don't care about Blade. I don't care about Rise of Hydra. I expect... certain things. So I expect more Suicide Squad type of nonsense. So I'm good.
Yeah.
You know? All right. Couple of sponsored questions by Mr. Romudeath, a very gracious guy. He is sponsoring some of Syrian Air Force's other question. So here we go. Why doesn't Sony hire the RPCS3 guys to help emulate PS3 games for PS5? Go ahead, Manny, because I already have my answer. Go ahead.
Well, actually, some people who created the RPS, they have some of the people, PCS, PS, the PlayStation, the RPS3 guys, I don't know. Because the way that some of those people got involved with the PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 emulation, who made that previously worked on that, the PC emulator, is because they made their own company. The company, there is no company or actual developer that currently is doing anything like that for it. So I would say that the reason why they haven't hired anybody is because they didn't put anything together.
Yeah.
They haven't become a studio.
Kishak goes, I'm guessing because they already have a working PS3 emulator. They don't actually have a working PS3 emulator.
No, they don't.
You're streaming those games and you're actually streaming them off of actual PlayStation 3s. There is no.
Yeah, you're doing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, you're doing it off of actual hardware over at the Gaikai offices, aka PlayStation Now. There is no currently there is no solution that they have for getting these games. No sort of software solution on their end that gets it. But again, like judging by some of the work that's being done when it comes to emulation Like, it seems like all they're willing to give is really just to get the game running on the damn console rather than improving anything. So even if a effective solution did come out for the PlayStation, you know, the PlayStation 5 generation of games, you're probably not going to see anything better than the 720p that the games were probably at 30 frames per second, but they had.
Yeah. You could blame that on the cell processor, you know.
You can blame that on the cell processor and officially Sony, not a Sony or PlayStation, not caring enough to want to improve performance.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, you look at what's currently running on those the new offering of PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 emulation on the PlayStation 5 and 4. It's bare bones. It's like, okay, they run maybe a little bit better than they do, but you can't futz with resolution. The most you can do is just maybe it runs a little bit clearer. Games, you know, that are unlocked may run a little bit better than that, but they just stay pretty much the same. There's no additional sort of, you know, there's nothing like the emulation work that's being done. And I don't think they're willing to pay for anything more than that.
That was my answer. That's my answer. Sony is not willing to pay for that. And also, why would they give you less of an incentive to subscribe to their higher tier ones, where you could only access PS3 games through if you're one of the higher tiers? So they don't want to disincentivize you from doing that.
Well, the thing about it is that the PlayStation, the PlayStation streaming tier is it's the only way you can play those games, those three games on there. But all their other titles you can actually buy on their store. You can buy Forbidden Siren or any of the other ones that had been recently released, like the Ratchet and Clank games. You know, I think Sly or whatever runs on it now. So yeah. I don't think they're going to, if it does happen, it's going to be a very sort of weak, a weak effort. Unlike the Xbox effort that legitimately improves those games.
Yeah. Kishak, we kind of did answer that. Do you guys think the reason they aren't is because there's no money involved? Yeah. They know they're not going to get that much money off of it. So why bother?
Yeah. They're not going to make that much money.
They're not.
Off of it. I mean, granted it does it. You know, to the fans and to the enthusiasts, like, yes, that seems like a given, right? Put all those games out there, leaving money on the table. That's why they were trying to close down the old PlayStation 3 store, right? And the Vita and the PSP store, because they weren't seeing a lot of money coming from there, right? But then again, those two consoles are not readily available. But when they made a lot of those games readily, well, obviously people are not like chomping at the bit and buying them as soon as they drop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, it's like also it's a give and take, because they're also not fully advertising these games are out either. You know, like, they just released Dino Crisis, a game that hadn't been a console a long time, for the Halloween months, right?
Yeah.
Did they advertise that other than saying, hey, look at our new games that are in the top tier of PlayStation Plus, right? Other than that.
A certain effort goes, I'm sure the Ryzen CPU or Intel CPU in 2024 have as much processing power to emulate PS3 games. It's not really that they don't, it's not about power. It's just it was built on a different architecture, you know?
It's a different architecture. And I think a lot of the modern consoles can brute force a lot of it, but it's just a matter of, you know, putting the development into it, right? Like, does Sony think that this is, or yeah, PlayStation think that this is something that they should do? Because you realize somebody still, regardless of whether they have this thing running on a, maybe they could port that thing over to the PlayStation. But at the same time, in order to do that sort of stuff, again, if they have to have a legitimate studio in order to be developing that for them to hire it, or if it's an internal company. And then what's the budget? How many people are on it? Who's the QA? There's a whole bunch of things in line here. Think about it, with fan stuff, you have an infinite amount of people that are doing QA on these things, whether they like to think of it or not. You know, as soon as you say, hey, you know, Metal Gear Solid 4 runs like shit to these guys, they'll be like, all right, you know, this is wrong. You literally have all these things coming in saying, okay, this doesn't work right.
Yeah.
But when you have a company like that, you have to pay people to do that.
Here's the thing, though.
People don't just offer their time,
yeah,
you know, to
exactly.
Just work on these things.
You got to understand something, you know, for you guys, if I don't know if you've ever tried emulating or playing PS3 games that have been emulated, they don't look and run that good. you know? So it's not really a matter of like, oh, you need a beefy PC. No, it's not about that. They've been trying to get this done for fucking over a decade and they're still struggling. You know, when some of these things are made on weird architecture, why you can't even get proper Sega Saturn emulation because of this shit, you know? So it's not just about the hardware. It's about the way these games are made, you know? So, yes, Manny, I know you're going to say some of them, they're getting better. And I think we will probably get to a point where they will be good. But it's still not the same experience that you got playing natively on a PS3.
Like right now they got Metal Gear Solid 4 running very well, and a lot of those bigger titles are running very well on the new emulators. So it can be work. It just takes time. And how many years have they been working on?
Exactly, they've been doing this over a decade.
How many heads have been bashing against that wall to get that done?
Yeah, exactly. Sony's not going to put money and time into this shit, you know. All right, man. Let's move on. Another one from Assyrian Air Force. Will PSSR get new updates for PS5 Pro, or will it just be version 1.0 forever? Who knows? I have no idea.
I would suspect that if it's anything like DLSS, any of those upscaling, you know, AI upscaling techniques, I'm sure as time progresses, it's probably going to get better.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, every time they've been updated, you needed to buy a new graphics card. Right, like DLSS 3 doesn't work on like an older. It doesn't work on GTX, for example. You know what I mean?
Well, to be fair,
Brian, you could correct me on that if I'm wrong.
No, it's true, but that's just a Nvidia thing because they want you to buy the newer stuff. So they make it so that they can't work on the old stuff. Whereas with the AMD offerings, they tend to work like on everything. So for example, the TSR, it's I think they said it goes all the way back to like the GTX 10 series in that it's compatible with, because that's just how it works.
Yeah.
Whereas with Nvidia, that's just the weird, well, I say the weird strategy. That is the strategy. They make something new, lock it to the new hardware. It's very Apple-esque.
Yeah, no, so, that Brian, that makes me feel actually very happy to know that, like, because remember, what does the PS5 Pro have? It has an AMD chip in there, so it's good to know that they can update it without, like, oh, you need a whole new one, you know? But this one NVIDIA has done to people, Brian, they maybe just believe, okay, it's just the way it is, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I have a 3080 Ti, but I can't use DLSS 3, you know? I have to go for a 40 series.
Yeah, it's the weird, sad state of the NVIDIA powerhouse, and I hate it, even though I have a 3080, but I still... Yeah. Hate it. Regarding PSSR, it all depends on what path Sony goes down, and I honestly have no idea which way they will. I hope that we'll see updates, but I don't think they'll advertise them as updates. They'll just roll them out and say, well, and say nothing. You know, like,
I agree.
Was it performance improvement? That's what it'll be.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
I think they'll do that underneath the hood. They won't say that it's like new version or PSSR 1.2 or whatnot. It'll just say performance improvement, and then that's it. And then at some point we'll see a Digital Foundry video where they'll be like, oh yeah, this is a comparison between these two games and this is how they've improved this or something.
That's funny. Right, so stay tuned for Digital Foundry, man. They'll let us know. All right, moving on here. Illustrated Dio, man, got a couple questions. You know, how do you see Xbox's Play Anywhere strategy panning out in the future? Will there be any big system sellers if the company stops making consoles? How could Xbox compete with PlayStation if Sony continues releasing consoles? You gotta remember what Phil himself has said. He says, we're not competing with PlayStation. He said this. He says, Xbox is not competing with PlayStation. He says, we are competing with Amazon and other streaming services. That's what he said, you know? So, like, you still would need a reason to get this stuff, you know, a killer app, so as it will. But even now, they have admitted they are not in direct competition with PlayStation. They're in direct competition with other streaming services, you know? So you got to think of it that way. And I've said this already, the whole competition between Xbox and PlayStation effectively hasn't existed for 10 years. Once the Xbox One dropped or was announced, game over. It was game over. TV, sports. Oh, we have a console that plays online. All that shit killed it. There was no more competition, you know? So, yeah, you got to think of it that way. It's like, again, according to Microsoft, Uncle Phil, their competition is streaming services. So there you go. Anybody else want to jump on that?
Is it streaming or cloud services?
I think it's
Azure versus AWS versus Google Cloud. And I think that's what he's looking at as a competitor, and not the system. It's cloud and enterprise cloud that Microsoft really is competing in.
Here we go. I pulled up the quote. When you talk about Nintendo and Sony, we have a ton of respect for them, but we see Amazon and Google as the main competitors going forward. That's from Uncle Phil.
It's cloud. That's what he's talking about. When you said streaming, I was like, I think of video streaming, but it's really cloud.
Yeah, cloud. Yeah,
offerings,
yeah.
Yeah, that he's competing.
Yeah. Oh, were you going to say, Rich?
I was going to say four simple words. This is an Xbox. That's the answer.
Yep.
That's the answer. Yes. They're not competing with PlayStation. So. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, he goes, that's not the, you know, I agree with you 100%. Regarding that Nintendo and Sony aren't their competition, he says, that's not to disrespect them, but the traditional gaming companies are somewhat out of position. Okay, that's what Uncle Phil says, bro. Go ahead, Manny.
Well, I mean, at this point in time, it definitely is the future. But you know, to quote a lot of the numbers, none of those streaming services are making any money. They can't sustain themselves because, in general, what's the thing? What is the thing that always is? And I know Brett likes to say, you know, success is not judged by how much money that you make.
Oh, engagement.
Engagement. No, it's still about the almighty dollar, man. Somebody needs to buy something. Something needs to pay for something to be able to do it. That's why Netflix has decided to put essentially add commercials to the lower tiers of Netflix. It's why, you know, Hulu is that way. It's why all the other services have gone that way too, where they're putting, because they have to figure out some way to pay for this thing, because the actual subscriptions are not able to sustain them making content.
Yeah. And remember, guys, this statement is not a new statement. He made this a while ago. Matter of fact, let me pull this up. He said this in 2020. This isn't new, you know?
Yeah. So, you know, again, unless they start charging more money, and people are not going to like that, which they've already blown up the price of that service. Just saying, people need to buy your games. That's all. That is what it is, plain and simple. You talk about all this, you know, we've been talking about Steam numbers because they could definitely be seen how much people are essentially playing and, you know, actually buying a game. These are legitimate numbers that these guys are making off of these things, like legitimate money.
Yeah.
So unless you can figure out how to get money out of a dry turnip, people still got to buy shit.
But you know they're trying this, like, you know.
Yeah. Even if they don't own it, like all the new rhetoric says now, right?
Yeah, this is an Xbox.
You got to buy something. That's the new one. That's the new.
Got to
have
something.
Got to buy something. That's it.
Oh man! All right, another one. Illustrated Dio. This question is really for me because nobody else is really playing Street Fighter aside from me. Which characters do you want to see in Street Fighter 6 Season 3? It could be characters from previous Street Fighter or Capcom games. I'm going with Fei Long, Necro, Hugo, Makoto, Dudley, C-Viper, Maki, and then he threw in some wild cards in here. Edward Falcon and Wang Tang from fucking Power Stone. I don't think you're going to see Power Stone characters in Street Fighter. They're too out there, you know? They're like 19th century people in modern day fucking Times Square. Like, that would not work.
Hey, listen, if they manage to get friggin' Capcom, they could possibly get
in a Street Fighter.
They could get into a Street Fighter. You could, what was it? No, but I mean, that's a Marvel versus Capcom.
He's asking me, will you know, who do you want to see in Street Fighter VI? And I'm saying those Power Stone characters wouldn't fit in Street Fighter VI.
You could easily just make a
they'd have to be modern versions. Yeah, they'd have to be modern versions.
Yeah. Still get away with it. They've done stuff like that. I mean, they like, stuck fucking Cody and Hagar in all those games.
They're in modern times, though. Understand?
Yeah, but again, like, I don't think anything is off the table. If they somehow figured out how to get fucking Strider into Street Fighter, which they did.
Yeah, he's not a main character in Street Fighter. He's not a selectable character.
No, he is a character that there's a character in Street Fighter V who has the Strider. He's Strider.
But it's not the Strider from the future.
No, it's not the Strider from the future, but it is a version of Strider. So they managed to get him in there.
Just no, they not didn't. Like it's not Strider. It's not him. So that doesn't count. You know, I see what you're saying, but that doesn't count. They would have to, but those two characters would be complete new characters because they're modern versions. They would just be different characters. So maybe.
Yeah, but it would still be. Yeah. There's nothing stopping them essentially just redesigning the character and working it in there. Like a character like Strider or even Wang Tang could easily be worked in if they just reworked the way they work, like we work the style.
Although I would argue Jamie's already like Wang Tang. He kind of looks like him too, you know? I don't know about that.
Wang Tang is pretty much like Son Goku. Like he's, you know, that's the way he was.
Yeah. Yeah. As for me, because I've been asking this question ever since Street Fighter VI came out, where the fuck are the game takes place in Metro City. There are no Final Fight characters in this, right? And the bigger question I have is, why is there a memorial for Mike Hagar?
It's not a memorial.
It is. It's actually called Mike Hagar Memorial Park. It's actually called that. So I'm like, a memorial because he saved the city or because he's dead? You know, that's the question I've been asking ever since this game dropped. I'm like, where's Mike Hagar? You know, and you know, obviously, we're Cody. We're a guy. Guy's been mentioned because Kimberly in the game, she's one of his disciples, so we know he's at least around. And Cody was the mayor at one point, you know, after he cleared the criminal charges. But the big one is Mike Hagar. I'm like, why is there a Mike Hagar Memorial Park? I need that answered. Here's the thing. Kimberly's cool. I want Guy. I need proper Guy in there, you know? And where's Sagat? Very interesting. Sagat's not in this game. So it'd be cool to get him. I'm going to go with four characters because that's what the season seemed to be doing. So Guy, Sagat, and this game has done. Yeah, Fei Long would be good, actually. Get Fei Long in there. You already have DJ and Cammy in the game. So get Fei Long in there. I don't really want T-Hawk. Not yet. Who else? One more character. Since Metro City, right? Rolento, where's he at? You know, so there you go. I want to know what happened to Mike Hagar. What's going on? Why is there a memorial park? You know? And the last question of the night, people. This one was actually originally for Brett, but he's not here. But we could dive into this. By the way, Brett actually called me because he had a headache, couldn't be on. And I asked him if he can answer this question. Even he had a hard time with it. So he wants to get back to me on that. But I think some of us can probably answer this easily enough. Jolly Yellow Nerd, this is mainly for Brett, but anyone can answer. Brett has said several times last year that gamers were eating good. With 2024 coming to an end, how do you think the eating this year compares to last year? So basically, did we get more games this year than we did last that were good? Rich, I'll start with you, man. Do you think 2024 gaming has been better than 2023 gaming?
Absolutely not.
Uh-oh.
There's been some more games that I have been interested in, but there was way too many games last year that stood out a lot more. Concord, for example, you know, Carlos's game of the year, that should be an indicator. You had Concord in that garbage Suicide Squad game that dropped this year.
Oh.
So absolutely not. No, completely different year. Sony did not have a good year for releases. You know, they had a couple of good games. You know, Astrobot, that's probably going to be a game of the year contender. Stellar Blade, which I did enjoy. So, yeah, you know, and then, of course, Xbox. Not too many games this year that I enjoyed. you know, we'll see what happens with Indiana Jones. Of course, Stalker is going to be on PC as well, Stalker 2. So I think it has been a pretty decent year for games. It's been good, but 2023, I think, was better. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with that assessment, even though, yeah, there has been some good games this year. Stellar Blade, right? That was a great game. Astrobot, like you said, I really enjoyed Final Fantasy Rebirth. But yeah, then we had those games, right? Concord, Suicide Squad, Dragon Age, you know.
That's not done. It's yeah, fair game.
Yeah, wow. Exactly. Fair games. What's the other one that came and went? There was another one. It's one of those like point and click adventure games that was just absolute garbage.
Dinosaur High.
Yeah, did that finally come out?
I don't know.
Yeah, but the game I'm thinking about is in that vein. So yeah, I'm gonna agree with Rich. Last year was a better year for gaming. Although ironically enough, this year I have played more games than last year because I'm not playing a lot of modern games aside from fucking Tekken 8. I haven't played any games that came out this year, really. Like, you know, in the last couple months after Marvel's Capcom came out, bro, I've been just on this fighting game kick, you know? But yeah, it's a couple good games here and there. And we'll see if Indiana Jones pairs out. You know, maybe it's good. We'll see. And, you know, and I should admit none of us have played Metaphor yet, so that could change things dramatically. But
especially Rich.
Yeah, Rich is still trying to play it, you know? Just like I am.
Yep.
Yeah, but in general, and Carlos, I know you'll agree with me on this, overall this generation's been whack, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there goes Tony again. Talk about how bad the generation is. Here we go. Yep, it's been trash. You know, so yes, here's the thing. Cause fucking people, it's like, when I say there's exceptions, you know, but it has been bad. Oh, what do you mean it's bad? What about this and that? I just said exceptions, motherfucker. You know? But, you know, that's just how it is. Just like earlier tonight, I tweet out, I'm like, general, yes, there has been some good stuff here and there, but I think this has been so far the worst decade for any kind of entertainment. Oh, what about this? What about that? I just said there's exceptions, you dumbass. You know? Anyway,
yo, Tony, why you call me a dumb?
What about this? You said you like Dune. Like, bitch, you not read the first fucking sentence where I literally said there have been exceptions, but generally speaking, no, don't read that part. They just read this decade has been horrible. You know, read, motherfuckers, open a book, you know. Anyway, I don't even know what I'm yelling about anymore. All right, Hellblade 2, Game of the Year. No, that came in one, didn't it? Fuck, you know? Anyway, does anybody else think? Chris, what do you think, man, this year compared to last year?
Well, I agree with Rich. I think this year has, I mean, arguably been worse than last year.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the number of poor releases that we've gotten. I mean, we've gotten some gems, right? But, they were few and far between. I mean, trash was just released one after the other. Suicide Squad, Concord, Dragon Age. And we still have trash being released. And there was trash if you look at, like, Unknown 9 and all this. It's just all this garbage that came out.
A lot of garbage.
Yeah. So, I mean, this was the year of, like, trash releases. So it's like, yeah, I would just say just on that alone, yeah, it was a worse year.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, what about the rest of you guys? You think this year was better than last? Go ahead, Carlos.
It's close. The only reason I'm saying is because Elden Ring came out this year, so it's like that's better than anything that came out last year. It's not even close. But last year had Spider-Man 2, it had Zelda, it had Final Fantasy 16, it had Starfield. Shout out to Starfield. And it had Rich's favorite game, Sea of Stars. So there's a couple of good games last year, but Baldur's Gate, which I still haven't been able to play, but you know, everyone says it's a great game, so gotta give it that. And this year, it's like shit.
Yeah,
I mean, Metaphor. I gotta give Metaphor credit, but I haven't played it yet. But I gotta give it credit. Everyone says it's good. The Shadow of the Erdtree is great.
Oh yeah.
Astrobot is a pleasant surprise. I haven't played it, but Power World is something people were excited about. I don't know if people are still playing it, but
Helldivers, you know, that was a big one for a while.
Yeah, Helldivers 2. So there are some stuff, you know, and like Chris mentioned, there is a lot of duds this year as well.
Oh, I forgot. It was Dustborn. That's the game I was thinking of, you know?
There you go.
This year's Dinosaur High.
Yeah, so there's I feel like last year had like a lot of games. I didn't play a lot of the games. Like Hi-Fi Rush was last year as well.
Yeah.
And we know, you know, people like that game. Remnant 2 came out last year. You know how Brett raves about that game.
Oh, yeah.
Street Fighter 6 came out. I did play that one.
Great game.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So, yeah, last year was a lot better than this year.
I think, there's not really, dude, the way you lay that shit out, it's like, yeah, that's just objectively better. You know,
yeah. Unless Indiana Jones is like the best game I've ever played, I feel like there's no way to come back from this.
That game,
it won't be.
Yeah,
no.
That game needs to be Red Dead Redemption 2 levels of good. You know, and it's not going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man,
last year had Armored Core 6 as well. I played that game. It had Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I didn't play that.
I played that. Yeah.
Diablo 4, shout out to Brett.
Oh yeah, don't get him started.
It had a lot of games.
Yeah.
This year it's hard to come up with a list, and you know, a part of the list you kind of cringe at it. When was Redfall? This year or last year?
That was last year, I believe.
Oh, okay.
I believe that was
last year. Another Brian's favorite game, Hogwarts Legacy, came out last year.
Yeah, there you go. Best-selling game of the year.
Yeah, it's not even close.
Well, that's not even but I mean, it did very well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the best-selling game of the year, you know? Carlos, May, that's when Redfall came out last year. But, you know, it's a couple duds, but, you know, this year was the year of not only the duds, but the bombs, man, you know, and the studio closures.
Yep.
Yeah, this was a bad year for gaming, man. The industry as a whole, too. Yeah.
Oh, but don't worry, man. Next year.
It's going to be the year. Wait till next year. Wait, Carlos, is going to be stacked?
it's going to be stacked. I mean, it has to be, you know, the five-year development cycles. Yep. I mean, they're all piling up for this, the delays.
Oh, man.
Yeah, GTA 6 is coming out next year.
GTA 6, there you go. It's coming.
Oh, shit. Yo, Phantom Liberty came out last year. Yeah, last year won by a landslide.
Yeah. Yeah, Phantom Liberty, that's right. Go ahead, Ben.
By the way, Carlos mentioned GTA 6. I think we will all learn very soon that the 6 in GTA 6 means 2026.
There you go.
So, yeah, there's no way. It's no way. I'll be very surprised if this game does hit the fall 2025. Rockstar has been very quiet, so we'll wait and see, but I'm going to take a guess. 2026. Spring 2026.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, yeah. Oh, man. All right, that's going to do it for us. Another good show. Rich, what's coming up with the Coalition?
Oh, yeah, so for the Coalition, there will be plenty of gaming things coming to the website very soon. Like I had mentioned earlier, I'm working on a review for Dragon Quest III, so that will be up sometime this week. Then there are some other things that I can't talk about yet, but will be coming to the website soon, and I may talk about some of that stuff on the Throwdown this Thursday, so you'll definitely want to check out the show.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting show, so stay tuned for that. All right, we're done here, so make sure you follow Throwdown on Twitch and Twitter. Subscribe on YouTube and join the Discord where the conversations, the rumors are always popping. And, of course, you can also find us on your favorite podcast app. Links to everything down below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
See you next time.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Richard Bailey Jr.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brian Majoma.
Speaking of studio closures, if I worked at Bioware, I'd be refreshing my CV.
Oh,
no, it's coming.
Yeah, oh yeah. After Mass Effect 4, it's over, man. All right, guys. We'll see you on Thursday. Later.
Please.